Today's scripture is, of course, one of Jesus' parables, a story which helps us see reality from a new angle, from God's point of view. But today's reading is part of a series of parables in the Gospel of Matthew. They're unique to Matthew, which are really more than parable. They're also prophecy. So I want to start out by talking about prophecy. And I want to tell you, as a person who has always enjoyed fantasy novels, as a person who has read the Lord of the Rings books several times, read and listened to the Harry Potter novels at least seven times, I know a thing or two about prophecy. For in fantasy literature, in series after series, amazing saga after saga, you find prophecy as a key, foundational, critical part of the plot. If you've read the Harry Potter books, you'll know that a prophecy made in the past, before the story even began, is a driving force for the entire series. The obsession of the villain with the prophecy is what sets the events of the saga in motion. Ironically, if he had ignored the prophecy as a child's tale, as nonsense, the story wouldn't have even taken place. Indeed, this is often the function of prophecy in fantasy literature. In some mysterious way, the future is foretold. Events are predicted, and the unfolding of that prophecy drives the narrative. It's usually a question of either, will the main character turn out to be the promised one, the one foretold to fulfill the prophecy and save the world, or will the main character be able to subvert the prophecy of doom that the villain is seeking to fulfill? Prophecy in fantasy literature, and also, of course, movies of the same kind, is almost always about the foretelling of momentous events which are going to happen in the future and change everything. And while I don't really have any proof of this, I think that this common move in literature, I suspect it originates in the way we often read the Bible. We read the words of the prophets as foretelling, as predicting the future. These are the things that will happen. This is the one whom God has promised. Here is what God has in store. A Messiah will come to save God's people. God will send the promised one to bring about God's reign, to restore God's people. This is perhaps our default way of hearing prophecy, the words of the prophets. And this is important. The gospel writer Matthew talks this way himself often, multiple times. He quotes the Old Testament and then shows how it pointed to Jesus. For example, he takes the words of the prophecy in Isaiah, a young woman will conceive and bear a son and name him Emmanuel. He takes those words and points to Jesus. But, now you knew that was coming. You know I love to do that. Not because it's a gotcha, but because it's exciting for me to find a new, deeper layer that makes scripture even more intriguing and inspirational. And this but is important for today's parable. But there is also another way of looking at prophecy. There's another way at looking at prophecy other than as a foretelling of events, other than a telling of something that God has planned for the future, other than being like the words of a fortune teller. The other way is to see the words of the prophets, the words of prophecy scattered through the scriptures, to see them and hear them as being like words of warning from someone who cares. like words of warning from a loving parent, like words of wisdom and guidance and instruction from one who knows better and wants what is best for you. In this way of understanding prophecy, the words of the prophet are not so much a prediction of what will definitely happen, not so much this will happen when God's plan, God's reign, God's vision is unfolded, but rather, like a parent, this is what's going to happen if you keep doing that. This is the mess you're going to get yourself into if you don't do it differently. This is going to be the result if you continue down the path you're on. Do you see the difference? Now note, I'm not saying one way of seeing prophecy is at work in the scriptures and the other is not. I'm not telling you one way is good and one is bad. What I'm saying is that both ways of seeing prophecy, of understanding the words of the prophets, can be instructive. Both can be in place, sometimes maybe even at the same time. And also I'm saying I think this second way is helpful in reading today's parable, which is part of a string of parables in Matthew that are bookended by prophecy and themselves have the character of prophecy. Hear Jesus again. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps, went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish took no extra oil for their lamps, but the wise also took flasks along. So when the bridegroom was delayed, the lamps of those who were unprepared were already running out of oil. They were going out. But the wise who took the extra oil were prepared for the delay, prepared for the unexpected time of the groom, prepared when the time came to celebrate the wedding feast. So while we could read this parable as a prediction about what will happen in the future, namely that someday God will show up to bring about the kingdom, the end times, the apocalypse, and those who will be ready will get in and those who are not will be cast out. We could read this as a prediction that God will return as one who divides and judges and separates, who either rewards or condemns based on your behavior, your actions, your preparedness, or we could read it more in line with all the things that Jesus teaches about who God is. We could read it as Jesus saying, I, the one whom God sent, I, Jesus, am bringing about the reign of God now. Through my life, my teaching, my healing, my proclaiming of God's good news, I am bringing the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God to you, to the world, to earth as it is in heaven. And you don't want to miss out. It says Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his followers, his beloved. I don't want you to miss out on being a part of God's wedding feast. The celebration, the festivities, the party, the joy-filled reign of God. Your loving Father, Jesus said, your God wants you to join the transformation of earth, of humanity, the leading of people out of the division and oppression, brokenness, hatred, conflict, violence, to lead you into the reign of peace, the reign of love, the reign of God's good news, and the time is now. Not someday in the future, now. So don't delay, Jesus is saying. Don't wait to do what you need to do. Now is the time. Now is your time to take up your light and follow Jesus. Friends, this is the good news of this parable. Now, in the midst of everything that the world is suffering, despair and hopelessness, the epidemic of poverty, the political division which prohibits compromise and solutions, the growing calamity of heat and drought and fire and hurricane, the injustice which allows the few to have more and more and more while others have less and less, the cruelty, the disregard, the lack of compassion, the meanness, the never-ending violence and death. In the midst of all that the world suffers, now God is at work. And God is calling us to action, to make changes, to proclaim a new way forward. Now, before it's too late, before the world, before humanity self-destructs, vanishes from the face of the earth in a plague of destruction and death, brought on by our own foolishness. Now is the time to hear the good news, to take up lamp and flask, to take up all that is needed, all that God has already provided as disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus together, to proclaim God is love. This is the good news of this parable, this prophecy, this guiding wisdom. The reign of God is at hand. And if we will but hear the good news and be transformed in heart and mind by God's grace, we will be a part of it. We will live the feast, the joy, the love of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.